Whenever you hear the song Waka Africa by Manu Dibango, then it's time for African Perspectives. Welcome to African Perspectives, the show dedicated to the music of and issues about the African continent and Africans in Georgia and the entire Southeast. I am your host, Akilo Yojo, welcoming you to the show. As they say among the Ewe people in Ghana and Togo, Weizo, welcome to African Perspectives, our precious time together to add value to the idea of the mother continent through music and words. Welcome to our third show in the third weekend of the new year. Tomorrow is the third Monday in the month of January and the annual Martin Luther King Day. Therefore, as it is our annual tradition, our show today celebrates the great African in America who had a dream. However, as we started last week on the show, there are a few news updates from the African continent that we need to share. We are grateful, as always, to the online sources that we depend on for these updates, including the BBC and the allafrican.com website. Therefore, on today's show, we'll be sharing some updates from the continent, including election updates from Uganda, Burkina Faso, and the forthcoming elections in Somalia. On top of all this, we will be remembering the peaceful spirit of a king, Dr. Martin Luther King, and the campaign for civil rights in America. Here to open up today's show is Nigeria's Asha with Eye Adaba. Enjoy. Eye Adaba, the peaceful dove. the music of Asha to open up our annual MLK special. We begin our news update with worries about the elections in Somalia. Somalians are worried about the fate of the general elections scheduled for February. This is because political leaders in the country appear to be at odds over holding the elections. According to the news report, Somalia is facing its worst electoral gridlock in history. The term of President Muhammad Abdullahi, also known as Farmajo, is due to expire on February 8, 2021. In the wake of the Durameb conference in September, President Farmajo and five regional leaders agreed on a revised election procedure based on the 2016 Somali parliamentary election. However, lack of consensus on appointment of electoral committees has put Mogadishu and the opposition at odds. The opposition has accused President Farmajo and the National Intelligence, NISA, of packing committees with hand-picked youth members to rig the elections. The ongoing military crisis in Ethiopia's Tigray region, very close to Somalia, has also cast a long shadow over the electoral crisis. On top of these issues or discussions with Eritrea and Ethiopia, President Farmajo has also cut diplomatic ties with Kenya, his beloved friendly state, from where he launched his political campaign in 2016. Meanwhile, on Saturday, January 9, Prime Minister Mohamed Hussein Robo announced that Somalia will hold elections after he finished having talks with three regional states. Meanwhile, the council of the presidential candidates have strongly opposed this decision to go ahead with the elections. We are therefore a few weeks to a serious constitutional and political crisis in Somalia. Ultimately, if there are no elections on February 8, it might embolden the opposition to announce a caretaker president, and of course, this will most likely lead to a political disaster. The United Nations and the African Union, through their various envoys and missions, continue to work with all interested parties to ensure that there are legitimate and free elections in Somalia come February. We would like to add that it is crucially important for the African Union and the international community to put pressure on the Somalian government to keep the agreed electoral schedule and to hold credible and transparent elections to avert crisis. God bless the government and people of Somalia, as well as its related regional states, as they look for peace for each of these countries in this region. Here again is Asha with No One Knows Tomorrow to continue our show today. Enjoy.
Go to war. All the kidding just to settle someone else's score. restful if you please. Yes, indeed, tomorrow is a politician's today. Be in heavenly places singing hallelujah with an angel on the piano, or will I be just another contribution to the earth, the trees, the grasses as tomorrow slowly passes? No one knows, 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 no one knows. So when I die someday, will I be in heavenly places singing hallelujah with an angel on the piano, or will I be just another contribution to the earth, the trees, the grasses as the moss slowly passes? No one knows, no one knows.
No one knows tomorrow, even in Somalia, as the nation prepares for its general elections in February. We thank God for life continuing peacefully in Somalia, despite the political leaders being at odds with over the forthcoming elections. Our prayer is that the differences will be sorted out soonest and that the nation will move forward united and peaceful in 2021. Meanwhile, in Uganda, there were serious concerns about this past week's presidential and legislative elections, especially with the roles played by the Ugandan military. The leading headline was that the Ugandan military were in charge of security for the country during the tense period that led to the January 14 elections, so much so that many of the persecuted opposition party members had to evacuate their immediate family members due to threat of kidnapping and personal attacks. Uganda security agencies warned of firm action against any dissident ahead of and during the election after the military took over of law enforcement operations. The country went to the polls on Thursday, January 14, to elect a president and members of parliament following a campaign across Uganda that was marred by unprecedented violence, in which at least 60 people lost their lives and hundreds were injured and over 800 arrested. We hope to bring you full results of the elections next week on our show, but we are not holding our breath about the chances of the incumbent president being defeated in this election. Mr. Yoweri Museveni of the National Resistance Movement has ruled Uganda for 35 years, and his desire to hold on to power resulted in an amendment of the country's constitution. This amendment saw an increase in the age limit at which candidates can run so that he could stand for office again this year at the age of 76. The run-up to last Thursday's election has been full of harassment and arrest of various opposition leaders while they were on the campaign trail. This included the Forum for Democratic Change leader, Patrick Amuriat, and the National Unity Platform leader, Robert Yagulai Setamu, popularly known as Bobby Wine, the singer. Both men and many leaders of the opposition have faced assault, arrest and imprisonment for various charges leading to the election. And in response to all the calls for international support from this same opposition, the East African Community, EAC, decided to send short-term election observers to monitor the parliamentary and presidential elections last Thursday. However, barring a miracle, there is likely not going to be a new government in Uganda. Join us next Sunday as we bring you the full results. For now, we pray against widespread violence and also for continued peace in Uganda following the January 14 elections.
There is fire on the mountain, and nobody seems to be on the run. Oh, there is fire on the mountain top, and no one is running. I wake up in the morning, tell you what I see on my TV screen. I see the blood of an innocent child, and everybody's watching. Now I'm looking out my window, and what do I see? I see an army of a soldier man marching across the street. Hey, hey, Mr. Soldier Man, tomorrow is the day you go to war. Boy, you are fighting for another man's gloves, and you don't even know him. Ooh, what did he say to make you so blind to your conscience and reason? Could it be love for your country or for the gun you use in killing? So vision.
Welcome back. Dear listeners, whatever we all do, we hope that we will find some time to pray for the African continent. In addition to prayers for continued peace in Uganda and Somalia as they deal with election issues, other nations such as Burkina Faso need continued prayers also. President Christian Kabore was sworn into office at the end of December for his second and final term, after winning the November 22 presidential election. The ceremony, which assembled about 1,200 people, including 15 West African heads of state and government, saw Mr. Kabore, who came to power in 2015, become not only the second term president, but also the unifier of the different opposition parties, after winning the election on November 22 with 57.74% of the vote. Several opposition candidates who had initially claimed that the voting was flawed were there, including his main challenger, Eddie Komboigo, who also attended the inauguration. Congratulations to President Kabore. Now that he has been sworn in for his second term, we can only pray that such a hopeful outcome will occur in Uganda and later in Somalia in February. If the election ever holds in this Horn of African nation, may the spirit of all of Africa's ancestors continue to help us sort out the political issues in Africa. Amen. For now, It is our third show in January, meaning that it is the MLK weekend. We would therefore like to devote segments of the show, actually the rest of today's show, to the holiday coming up tomorrow, Monday, January 18. The rest of our show is a special offering for the 2021 MLK holiday. The true believer in nonviolence would have condemned all these acts of violence across the world and across this country. Today, it is our annual tradition. We will remember the life lived by the great peace-loving African who lived and died in America. That is Dr. Martin Luther King. The Martin Luther King Jr. holiday is tomorrow, January 18, 2021. They celebrate the civil rights leader's life and legacy. The holiday, observed each year as a day on and not a day off, is the only federal holiday designed as a national day of service to encourage all Americans to volunteer to improve their respective communities. We look forward to your engagement and celebrating the accomplishment of Dr. King's memory. We sincerely hope that most of us will ensure that we also observe the COVID-19 social distance regulations, even as we serve in our community. We are remembering Dr. Martin Luther King, who not only lived in the world, but also affected the world. A man awarded the Nobel Peace Prize for his efforts for peace and justice in America and universally. Here he is narrating the circumstances that ushered him into the leadership position within the civil rights movement.
One day after finishing school, I was called to a little church down in Montgomery, Alabama. And I started preaching there. Things were going well in that church. It was a marvelous experience. But one day, a year later, a lady by the name of Rosa Parks decided that she wasn't going to take it any longer. She stayed on a bus seat. And you may not remember it because it's way back now, several years, but it was the beginning of a movement where 50,000 black men and women refused absolutely to ride the city buses, and we walked together for 381 days.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's what we got to learn in the North. The Negroes have to learn to stick together. We stuck together. We sent out the call. No Negro rode the buses. It was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen in my life. And the people of Montgomery asked me to serve as the spokesman. And as the president of the new organization, the Montgomery Improvement Association, that came into being to lead the boycott, I couldn't say no. And then we started our struggle together. Things were going well for the first few days, but then about 10 or 15 days later, after the white people in Montgomery knew that we meant business, they started doing some nasty things. They started making nasty telephone calls, and it came to the point that some days more than 40 telephone calls would come in, threatening my life, the life of my family, the life of my children.
Dr. Martin Luther King espoused the difficult model of nonviolence in his demand for justice, a trying model that we all struggle with today in the face of injustice in our world. How do you preach nonviolence with so much violence and hatred in the world? Here again is Dr. King expressing his commitment and that of the American civil rights movement to nonviolence.
Now let me proclaim here and now that I am still convinced that the philosophy and practice of nonviolence affords a more excellent way to improve the inadequacies existing in the American social system. The method of nonviolent resistance is effective in that it has a way of disarming the opponent. It exposes his moral defenses, it weakens his morale, and at the same time, it works on his conscience. I believe we will win it because the goal of America is freedom. Abused and scorned though we may be, our destiny is tied up with the destiny of America.
Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. took a stand for justice. He did all he could in his own way to help better the world. He and the American Civil Rights Movement, did all this against what will appear sometimes to be overwhelming odds. God help all of us to make a stand today. As the late Archbishop Desmond Tutu noted about the great man, the essence of Mobutu shines so clearly in the life and actions of Martin Luther King Jr. His Mobutu showed that the only way we can be human is together. The only way we can be free is together. Together, we can overcome, even in the face of so much violence and hatred. Peace to us all.
Peace for the people who are God. Yekpa for the ones not yet born. Oh, for the people who are yay. Yeah, yeah, yay. For the people. Peace for the people who are gone. Yekpa for the ones not yet born. Whoa, for the people who are yay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. For the people, I cry when I see that I am born. I leave when I see what I am to do. Cause life is all about all you sitting and looking at me. Just take one step at a time. Cause if you jump, you will never believe the thorns of life that my warning and waiting for me and you. They make it, but I say, I want to run away. Run away.
Peace to us all as we commemorate the Martin Luther King holiday tomorrow. We urge all of us to spend it as a day of service in our community. Whether we are at community service opportunities or any other commemorative event, let us not forget the key to the message of a prophet of our time, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. The message being that it is not life but justice that makes us humans. There's no justice if there's no fairness, and there's no justice when equal access is still a dream. Happy MLK Day. Let the dream survive.
I have a dream that one day, this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Yeah. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream. My four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. Exalted. And every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day with all of God's children. Be able to sing with new meaning, my country, tears of thee. Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. And so let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom ring. From the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring in Winding Capitol. When we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last.
free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
Dr. King continues spreading this message and other messages, including economic justice for all, fighting for the ideals he so famously captured in that 1963 I Have a Dream famous speech. Significantly, less than 5 years later, he was assassinated on April 4, 1968 at the Lorraine Motel in Memphis, Tennessee. Interestingly, the I Have a Dream speech has been variously used to argue that MLK was not a supporter of Black Power, or that he would not support today's Black Lives Matter movement. However, as Oakland professor Manu Ampim, an historian specializing in African and African-American history and culture, noted in his work on MLK, there have been consistently glaring omissions by biographers of Martin Luther King concerning his statement embracing Black Power as a concept. The focus usually has been on his statement rejecting Black Power as a slogan, without making the distinction that King himself made between Black Power as a concept and as a program on the one hand, and the use of the phrase as a slogan on the other. Here, for those who might be interested in hearing the King's true support of Black Power, are two quotes from MLK's first book, Where Do We Go From Here? Chaos or Community? On page 36, he wrote the following. Black Power, in its broad and positive meaning, is a call to Black people to amass the political and economic strength to achieve their legitimate goals. No one can deny that the Negro is in dire need of this kind of legitimate power. Indeed, one of the great problems that the Negro continues or confronts in his lack of power. From the old plantations of the South to the newer ghettos of the North, the Negro has been confined to a life of voicelessness and powerlessness. The plantation and the ghetto were created by those who had power, both to confine those who had no power and to perpetuate their powerlessness. The problem of transforming the ghetto is therefore a problem of power, a confrontation between the forces of power demanding change and the forces of power dedicated to preserving the status quo. That's a direct quote from Where Do We Go From Here, page 36 to 37. The point to highlight is how similar the sentiment expressed in this MLK quote is so close to what is expressed as the goals of today's Black Power organizations and movements. Here is one more quote from page 37 of the book, Where Do We Go From Here? This is a quote from Dr. Martin Luther King directly. He says, "Power, properly understood, is the ability to achieve purpose. It is the strength required to bring about social, political, or economic changes. In this sense, power is not only desirable but necessary in order to implement the demands of love and justice. One of the greatest problems of history is that the concepts of love and power are usually contrasted as polar opposites. What is needed is a realization that power without love is reckless and abusive, and that love without power is sentimental and anemic. There is nothing essentially wrong with power. The problem is that in America, power is unequally distributed."
Water.
Judy Mowat with Skin of My Skin. Our special call today to all black brothers in America whose children are being daily locked up for offenses committed due to the absence of their fathers. On this MLK holiday weekend, my dear black man in Athens, Georgia, and across America, your sons and daughters need you. They are sinking into trouble. You are needed, my dear African brothers. You have the power to make changes in the lives of your children, my dear African brother. May the soul of Dr. Martin Luther King continue to rest in peace, and may the spirit that is today fueling those fighting for economic and social justice for African Americans and for all in this country continue to ascend higher. While their goals are aligned with Dr. Martin Luther King's, those fighting for social and economic justice for minorities in America must fundamentally denounce violence. For as Dr. Martin Luther King once said, it is no longer a choice between violence and nonviolence. It is either nonviolence or non-existence. This is a message that is even more needed today in this nation and across the world. Hopefully, the political leaders of the world would denounce violence and would learn that violence cannot hold people down all the time. This goes particularly to the power holders and abusers in Burundi, Uganda, and the Congo, as well as those attempting to undo the achievement of self-determination in South Sudan. It is a tough message to share today on MLK Day, but we cannot but wonder what Dr. King would think of the few unfortunate crises still on the African continent. Would he ever expect that the buoyant continent that he and other American civil rights leaders visited proudly during the decade of independence in the 1960s would have a senseless situation as what obtains today in DRC, Uganda, or South Sudan? We do not think so. Here again is Judy Mowat with Jah Leaves. Enjoy.
Jah live, Jah live, Jah live, Jah live, Jah live,
Welcome back to the MLK special today on African Perspectives, coming to you from WUGA. As it is our tradition, we are devoting our show during the third weekend of January to commemorate the MLK holiday. We join all others who have variously marked the holiday and the many that will be going out on a day of service tomorrow. We particularly send our best regards to the UGA Office of Institutional Diversity that hosted a virtual event on Friday, January 15, 2021, in place of the usual traditional annual MLK Freedom Breakfast. The virtual event featured a keynote presentation by Mr. Hamilton Holmes Jr., a business development director for Piper O'Brien, her architect in Alpharetta, Georgia. The keynote speaker is the son of Mr. Hamilton Holmes, one of the two African-American students that integrated the University of Georgia in 1961. That was along with Ms. Charlene Hunter. The theme for this year's program was The Power of the Dream, Forging a Path Forward. We also salute the rest of our listeners, especially those of us who will be going out tomorrow to provide forms of service in the Athens community. We hope that you will have a great day of service and that the annual celebration, which is in support of the holiday, will also remind us of why we celebrate the MLK holiday. It is one of the holidays that is officially a day on and not a day off. Here in Athens, Clark County, more than 20 different community organizations and schools will host the volunteer project for the day of service. This will include Acceptance Recovery Center, Athens Land Trust, Books for Keeps, Friends of Brooklyn Cemetery, Nucci's Space, Oconee River's Greenway Commission, Project Save, and many more. A variety of daytime shifts is available for volunteers of all ages, according to the ACC government website. And also, the website notes that all CDC guidelines will be followed to limit the transmission of COVID-19. All volunteers must wear face coverings and social distance at all times. But in light of COVID-19, a special Choose Your Own Adventure option was also added to those not comfortable volunteering in person or within the group. We wish everyone who is comfortable to be there for the day of service all the best. Or for those who are not going to be able to make it in person, we hope that we all find a means of providing service to our neighbors across the street, across town, or across the country. In fact, we all need to also find ways of serving our fellow human beings across the world. We must lend a helpful hand to the struggling people all over the world. We must never get weary.
Give up.
As we begin the 25th year of African Perspectives on WUGA, let us close today's show by wishing all of us God's continued protection during these uncertain times as the whole world continues to battle the COVID-19 pandemic. Let us not forget, not everything is cancelled. The sun is not cancelled. The season is not cancelled. Relationships are not cancelled. Love is not cancelled. Kindness is not cancelled. And more importantly, hope is not cancelled. We sincerely hope that we will all continue to follow the instructions and recommendations of our health officials. We must ensure that we make the right choices to keep our loved ones and ourselves safe. May God's love, mercy, and blessings be showered on all of us in 2021. Finally, on behalf of my colleague working with me to bring you African Perspectives, Mr. Michael Cadden, we thank you for tuning in. For the improving political and electoral issues in Burkina Faso, Somalia, and Uganda, for our political, medical, and public health leaders during this difficult and continuing COVID-19 pandemic, for the spirit of carefulness and never giving up that will ultimately save the world, and for you, our long-term listeners, who've been joining us weekly to celebrate Africa on WUGA for the last 24 years. We thank God for Africa and Africans. Whatever we do, we will not forget Africa. That'll be all for now. The views and opinions expressed on African Perspectives do not necessarily reflect those of this station, the University of Georgia, or the Georgia Public Broadcasting. Thank you for tuning into African Perspectives on WUGA. On behalf of the African Perspectives team, I have been your host, Akinlo Yojo, calling all Africans to the spirit of Ujamaa. We thank you for being with us today for our third show in the year 2021. We hope you've enjoyed the show. If so, tune in next week on another edition of African Perspectives. Until then, I say Odigba, Kwaeri, Sanjima, Hachifo, Kambe, Subonana, Tiwanesa, Oriti, Dinawalu, and so on.